Welcome to the Inside Mac Games Podcast. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller, an artist for Freeverse Software.
How you doing, guys?
Justin Ficarotta of Kill Monty fame.
Yo.
And special this week, we've got David Helgeson, the CEO of Over the Edge Entertainment and developer of the Unity Game Engine.
Thank you, and hello.
And this is the Mac Gaming News for February 21st, 2006. We'll be back with David a little later in the show. Alright, this week in the news, Stoke Rider reaches open beta, Pac-Man X reviewed, Pangeo releases Enigmo 2, and that's also available on the Mac Game Store, Quake 4 is at final candidate, maybe we'll see a release soon, the Doom 3 Univinyl, the Doom 3 Universal Binary has been released, for all you've been waiting for that. Stoked Rider reaches open beta. For those of you who don't know, Stoked Rider is a snowboarding game that is developed using the IGEA physics engine. It features free riding legend Tommy Bruner.
You could tell Blake Buck is not familiar with this. He has not read his article. Has not done his homework.
Look, it features massive go anywhere on the mountain world, allowing you to drop the rider anywhere you want, presented in a fresh and unique rendering style. I'm not reading bullet points, I swear. It's got a file size just under 30 megs. And if you're interested, sign up. Sounds like some fun, because there's not a lot of snowboarding games on the Mac.
Ah, you missed the coolest part of this. It uses a procedural world-building technique to make it a perfect fit for electronic distribution. So,
of course.
Well, I mean, that means your level's different every time you play it, I guess. Well,
is that what it's saying?
You gotta go easy, because they don't have snowboarding in Tennessee or electronics. So...
Look, in Tennessee, we've got the good stuff. It's the home of country music, alright? Alright, so this is a minor article, but I thought I'd bring it up. Pac-Man X, which is some sort of Pac-Man clone developed by McSeeby, some guy named McSeeby, or maybe that's a company. I'm not sure, I haven't read this article, but... It was reviewed over at Macworld earlier this week, and Peter Cohen just went nuts over this game. He absolutely loved it. He gave it like 4.5 mice out of 5. And it's a freeware game, so if you guys are looking for some hot Pac-Man action, go check it out.
I love how like how low the system requirements are. 16 megs of VRAM and a 500 meg G3, or 500 megahertz G3 is all you need to play this game. Yeah.
And it's a sexy little Pac-Man game, too.
So if you're...
Runs on OpenGL.
Graphics are good. Graphics are slick.
Yeah it's a universal binary.
If you're a little behind the times, this might be a game for your old computer.
I have a feeling that Sippin is behind the times. In my mind, he's on one... He's on, you know... He's still on his Apple II.
Dude, Sippin...
Did I just say Apple II?
Oh, no. God.
Apple II forever!
No more. That's enough. That's enough.
This is the sound of me kicking a dead horse. But we all know that Sippin the Swede has an orbital platform above the Earth where he has where he exudes his omnipresence because he's Sippin. He's Sippin the Swede.
Sippin the Swede, our number one fan. And somebody needs to do the Pangea article.
So, Brian Greenstone has been at it again. Sorry, I was talking to somebody. Look, shut up.
I told you not to talk to that programmer when we're podcasting.
No, I'm talking to David. Talking to David. Look.
No, you're not. You liar.
I am, too.
I'm talking to David.
I hate you. Okay, Brian
Greenstone. Saw you with that programmer.
Would you shut up? I'm trying to talk. Let me do my article. Leave me alone. Pangea Software, longtime maker of Mac-only games. They made NanoSAR, NanoSAR 2, and Enigmo 2. They have just released Enigmo 2, the 3D sequel to their strategy puzzler. Requires 800 MHz G4 or Intel Mac. Will not run on any Mac with a G3 processor. 256 MB of RAM, 32 MB graphics card. Check this game out. Enigmo was... really cool. I remember Blake was addicted to this game, along with Bridge Construction Set. It was a double threat.
Shut up!
Blake has a problem with these puzzle games, I swear. That and Myst. Anyway, but this game is really cool. Brian Greenstone and Pangea makes... I think Pangea just is Brian Greenstone. I think that's it.
I think it is,
I don't think there's anybody else.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Brian Greenstone, come on our show.
He wrote
podcast at InsideMacGames.com.
He wrote a great book, by the way. If you're a Mac game developer, read his book. It's pretty good.
What's the name of that book?
Oh, hang on. Let me get it off my shelf. It is...
You don't have books.
Where is it? I can't even see it. Oh, it's Pangea Software's Ultimate Game Programming Guide for Mac OS X. It's really good.
That's a pretty generic title.
Look, he's not good at names.
Enigmo, come on, man.
I mean, Nanosar, whatever.
Brian he's Greenstone, never come on our show now.
Come be on our show, please. Also, speaking of Enigmo 2, you can get Enigmo 2 and Bejeweled 2 and many more games on the Mac Game Store, macgamestore.com.
That's digital downloads. Tons of digital downloads. A whole handful of new digital downloads. So
Bejeweled 2 is only $19.99. You can also get Zuma Deluxe for $19.99.
And Enigmo 2 is $30. Just my 2 cents on Enigmo 2. I played through the demo, and I was a little frustrated. Because I played through, I was like, oh, this is pretty fun, right? I'm playing the game, you know, getting my little water, my little lasers going around. You know, there's lasers and plasma in this one, too, so it's a little wild. Well, so I'm playing it, and then I get to the last level, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to come back and play this a little later. And then I quit, and I realized none of my progress had been saved. I'm like, ugh, fine. So then I came back later, played through all the same levels, and then realized that level I was on was the last level of the demo. So I was a little angry, Brian Greenstone. A little angry with the lack of save feature on the demo.
That's why you buy the full version, Blake Buck, and support Mac Gaming or something.
Like, you wonder why Blake Buck can't read. He missed 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade on The Incredible Machine. Like, that's where he was. He was on The Incredible Machine. On a little Mac LC or something, playing Incredible Machine.
Boy, I love The Incredible Machine. Now, I'll tell you why I can't read. You know where I'm supposed to be right now? Class. Doing a friggin' podcast.
Oh. So, yeah, Justin, where'd he go?
My 2D design teacher will not be pleased.
No. Can't read, no. But you know where to put a basketball. Over the over the dynamite. And the...
What?
Never
I don't know
mind.
What you... That was dumb. Lame.
Put a basketball over the dynamite. What the hell?
That was a shitty Incredible Machine joke. Moving on to Quake 4, Mac, and Final Candidate. Aspyre has updated their game's status page, and Quake 4 is now at Final Candidate. It's the sequel to Quake 2, and that enlists gamers in the role of Matthew Kane, a member of the legendary Rhino Squad. You know what? Who cares about the story anyway? You blow shit up in Quake 4, and it's awesome.
Now, I notice it's not the sequel to Quake 3. Now, where exactly does Quake 3 fit in the Quake timeline?
It doesn't fit anywhere. You just blow shit up.
Well, Quake 4 is the same plot, and it fits in the timeline.
Yeah, but Well, I guess it was Quake 3, and then there was Quake 3 Arena. Or was there a Quake 3...
There was Quake 3 Team Arena.
Yeah, there was Quake 3 Arena, and then Quake 3 Team Arena. And there was, like, no story to that whatsoever. Just they put you in a room, and you blow everyone else up. Which is awesome. Which I wholly endorse. So they actually tried to have some sort of storyline to Quake 2, and then this is the continuation of that.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that. I would say probably a release surely by the end of March, right?
Surely.
Yeah, okay. It says tentative release date for this first-person shooter is March 2006 and available for pre-order at MacGameStore.com.
MacGameStore.com. You guys know, every time you order something off MacGameStore.com, we get paid $2 each.
Oh, yeah.
No lie. We're millionaires.
Okay, minimum system requirements for Quake 4. G4, 1.67 gigahertz or higher, DVD, OS X 1039, 512 RAM, and 3 gigs of hard drive space. Radeon 9600 or G4 6600 required.
The day Tunser starts paying us for anything.
Justin Fick, you never do segue. So this week, Justin Fick, you're going to segue.
No. Wait a minute.
Oh, I missed the secret news. I'm sorry.
The secret news.
So when we're recording this is secret, top secret information.
All right. Yeah, so this is secret news, and it says so. It says here, S-E-K-R-E-T-N-E-W-Z, secret news.
I wrote that just for you, Justin Fitz.
Yes. Doom 3 Universal Binary Patch comes out today. Boom.
Today.
Secret
Boom.
News.
Secret
now,
news.
Now just stretch that sentence into a 5-minute article. All right. Article, Blake Buck, go.
All right, well, see, one of the great things about Apple Macintoshes is that they have a whole variety of games. You know, you've got your casual games like Journey to the Rooted Hold, Enigma 2, but then you've also got great games like Doom 3. But what's the problem? I got my new MacBook Pro. Quake 3's not working on it. What am I going to do, guys? I might just have to start crying, but wait, here comes Aspyre. Hard and heavy, bringing me the heat with the universal patch for Quake 3 Arena. And by Quake 3 Arena, I mean Doom 3, of course.
Good job.
Was that some good BS for you?
That was good BS.
Perfect
BS. I applaud you. Justin, segue to reader email, go.
And now for listener emails.
Alright, so we've got a lot of listener emails today.
First, I need to address the first one. This guy, what's his name? Let me scroll down here. His
Keep
name
scrolling.
Is Typhon J. He has been sending us emails for like 3 weeks, and I'm always like, oh yeah, we'll get to your email on the show, and then we never do because I'll forget about it because I suck. So I apologize, Typhon. So here is your email this week. He is apparently a GM on the Might and Magic 5. Remember, we were talking about how they've got all the open beta and the user feedback going for it?
Yep.
And he says, as a GM, I've been looking for feedback. Now, I know it's not the same as writing a computer game, but I have been getting the feedback. And if my players start to petition me, I'd be helping them set it all up. Any company that doesn't listen to their players deserves to have buggy software. About our varying volume levels, he says he likes it. His neighbor won't like it, but tough cookies for him.
We need it louder. Buzzer X, that wave, louder.
Guys, I've been researching a way to make Buzzer X louder. I'm not really sure how to do it. I think if I load the clip into Final Cut and then crank it all the way up, export, and then load it in again, I'll be able to crank it up another time.
We need to get Blake Buck the Buzzer X megaphone.
So we'll see. Our R&D team is working hard on that. He says, lots of people don't like Buzzer X. I think they're morons.
Oh.
I have PC friends that hate Mac games. Well, they don't really hate it, but they joke about it. He listens to the podcast just because he thinks it's funny and about gaming, not because of the Macs. Look at that, guys. A listener that thinks our podcast is funny. Unlike David. David doesn't think our podcast is funny. He says we're mischief makers.
Doesn't like the shenanigans.
The shenanigans.
He said we get off topic too much.
I wasn't even aware we had a topic to begin with.
He says he enjoys Stump Buck and Tunzer is wrong. That's what it says. Tunzer is wrong in all capital letters. I'm being nice, Tunzer. I'm being nice. Let's see. He liked the Underground podcast, and he even has his own podcast, which I listened to and didn't really understand. It's the World of Arl. If you got maybe Arl. That's a game or something. ARL. So, you can check it out on iTunes, search World of Arl. So that's from our longtime emailer, Typhon J. We finally got you on the show, buddy. Sorry for all the holdups.
It's Blake's fault.
It's my fault. All my fault. I'm sorry.
All right, Sippin' the Swede at it again. Sippin' sent us a really short email. He actually
I'm
calls
disappointed.
It, this is the shortest email I've ever written, he says, parenthetical. All right, he says, no, okay, I'll read it in its entirety. One. Postal 2 rocks my socks, but it requires some open-mindedness and self-irony, so Americans might be less likely to enjoy it. That does not apply to you guys, naturally. Why, thank you. Actually, we're the most closed-minded, embigoted people ever. Embigoted? Is that a word? Probably not. Anyway, we hate everybody. Number two.
We just legitimately enjoy going to Postal 2 and knocking off people's heads with shovels and then kicking them around like soccer balls.
Absolutely.
Moving on.
Number two, stop saying it's the year 2005 already.
I'm sorry, you're such a better podcaster than me. You know, I'll never match Sippin's level. I bet he gets 2006 right every time.
Look, he's built a fort in his bathroom. a base.
I need to get shelter.
Oh, if you guys haven't seen Sippin's video podcast, oh my god!
Yeah, I'll put the link up in the show notes. It's ridiculous, just for fun.
I think that video should be up every week from now on forever.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be working on our. We want him to work on a Mac gaming, video skit. So
that's right.
Keep us posted, Sippin, on how it's going. I just say this on the show, I don't have to send him an email. See how lazy that I am.
And he ends the email by saying, "The email ends here as payback for the saddeningly short podcast episode."
Now,
yeah,
really sad.
What was up with that, guys?
I'm going to comment on what happened with the short podcast. Now,
I leave you guys alone for 1 week and the whole thing just goes down.
Well, I'm not going to say what happened. We'll let this be a mystery, but it fell to pieces last week. Absolute pieces. There were tears. I was crying. But we promise, no more slip-ups. It's going to be good from here out.
Justin, you can't go on hot dates. We fall apart.
But I brought back cocaine.
Oh.
Oh, oh. Well, in that case.
All right, listener Luke L. sent us an email. Do any of you know the... Oh, God. I cannot read. Justin, please take this for me. I can't read.
Luke L. writes, "Do any of you know if Mac releases of PC games will be easier than ever to bring to our platform once the Intel transition is finished? My point of view is, how can it not? The Mac architecture has never been closer to the Windows counterpart. Surely this will make it easier for developers to bring their games to the Mac sooner than they are known for of late."
Well, on that topic, didn't we ask Linda Adams about this a few weeks back?
We did, and I think the answer to that question is...
It depends.
It depends, right. A lot of... It's not just the processor that makes it easy to transfer titles from one platform to the other. I think there's a lot of proprietary software, for instance, that games use. For instance, DirectX. One of the biggest jobs when you port a game is to emulate DirectX. So when a porting house, like when our buddy Dennis gets a game to
Dennis
port.
What?
Piakowski. So when Dennis Piakowski gets a game, he's got to write code to emulate DirectX, and that takes a long time. And so, I mean, it's not just the processor. You won't just be able to take your PC game and compile it, and it'll run on a Mac. It's a little bit more complicated than that. But ideally, what Mac game...
Hey, no, this is Justin's turn.
I passed it off.
He passed it off. But ideally, what Mac gamers need is more developers like Blizzard, which releases their games as hybrids. That's my opinion anyway. Whether or not it's cost-effective is their call. I agree with that.
That's exactly it.
They release their games as hybrids, but they also release their games as crack.
World of Warcraft, the Cocaina Edition.
You guys have no idea how close I am to getting World of Warcraft.
Oh,
it's tearing
me apart inside. I had a gift certificate to the Apple Store, and it was in my hands. It was so close. I went and got a laser mouse instead in a rare, you know, fit of willpower. But it's just I'm on the edge. I don't know what to do. It's just like all those rare drops and all these cool weapons and monsters and all these cool updates. It's driving me crazy.
I got a story to tell you about this. Ben Buck, my brother, who I've told you, longtime World of Warcraft fan, you know what he told me last night? He's canceling his account. On the 24th of this month, Ben Buck claims he will no longer play World of Warcraft. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either.
And so, I was like, well, Ben, what are you going to do when the expansion pack comes out? And he's like, oh, well, I might have to sign back up then. But, you know, until then.
So how many characters is he leaving behind?
Two, I think.
Three. Two are like, one's level 60, one's like level 57, and I think he started another one.
You know, Justin, you should just save yourself the time and get the World of Warcraft Hypodermic Needle Edition.
Yes.
No, you should just save yourself the time and get yourself a large book and beat yourself in the face with it.
And now for the Inside Mac Games Podcast Contest thing.
Oh, I love it, Blake Buck. Okay, Mac gaming community out there, here's what Blake Buck has done. At the beginning of this podcast, we have no idea for a new contest. And at the bottom of the email he sent me with all the news, it says, contest:WilliamsJob... You know what?
It's your job, dude.
Oh, it's my job. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Look, you have until we...
All right, no.
I've got one.
No,
we're going to announce the winners for this week, and then you'll tell us the contest for next week. And literally... We don't know what the contest is, so we better hope William comes up with something funny. The winner of this week's IMG Podcast Contest for the Buzzer X replacement sound is Mateo C. Now, Mateo sent us in a sound effect from one of our older podcasts. He sent us three, actually. It's Richard Bannister saying the word Matteo wins this week. And I'll see what I can do at editing, guys. Maybe I'll be able to work up a little song out of these ums.
Yeah, because we need to test it out.
It'd be like the Close Encounters of the Third Kind song. Exactly.
All right, so William, you've had ample time now. You are now going to... Now, I don't even know what he's going to say. No one does, except for William Miller, because he's going to tell us what this week's contest is. Go!
All right. As you will notice at the bottom of your... Well, if you're listening to us with the newest version of iTunes, you'll notice that you have a picture of Blake Buck down there. This week's contest is to take that picture of Blake Buck and Photoshop it as a present for Justin Ficarato, who has a birthday coming up soon. And...
What does that mean, Photoshop it as a present? Could you give us some examples?
I cannot. Justin Ficarato has a birthday on February 21st.
This is
yes.
This is the most well-thought-out contest ever.
Okay, no. Justin, since it's your birthday, you got to give us a theme.
A theme?
A theme. That's right.
Oh, hey, just make it as degrading to Buck as humanly possible.
Oh.
No,
I love it. I love it.
All right. Keep it clean, though. You gotta keep it clean.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
no,
do we have to?
No clean in my mouth, please.
Oh, God.
Because, we have a Buzzer X. We keep the show G-rated. And if you win, your logo's going to be on the podcast. So... Just with that in mind,
I got an idea.
We're not going to put one up. We're not going to put an image on the podcast. That's
okay. No. The theme. Here's the theme. Are you ready?
I got the theme. Ready?
Okay. Go.
All right. The theme is you have to Photoshop Blake Buck into a Mac game, preferably Marathon. That's the challenge
now,
for this week.
Now Justin Fick will be grading on quality, so your Photoshop skills, and also on humor.
Yes, no, I'm very just demanding.
Do you want to limit it to Marathon?
No, just...
No.
Okay, we're not limited to Marathon, guys.
Marathon gets irony points, though.
And Mist. Mist and gets Mist, irony yes. points. So there, take that picture, and actually we'll include several other pictures in the show notes for you to play with.
Oh, because when this comes out, today is actually your birthday when this comes out, right?
It is.
That's
so,
right.
So maybe we should wish the entire Inside Mac Games podcast should wish you, Justin Ficarato, a happy Mac Gaming birthday.
Thank How old you. Are you going to be, Justin Fick?
25.
Oh. Very nice.
Very nice. Ripe old age.
That's old double man. My age.
Because you're 12.
12 and a half. Get it right. Can't you do math?
Sorry.
And now an interview with David Helgeson of Over the Edge Entertainment, creators of the Unity game engine.
How you doing, David?
Hi, thanks. I'm just fine.
So give us a little overview of what you do at Over the Edge Entertainment and the Unity game engine.
Yeah, I manage the business of Over the Edge, and I'm sort of the kingpin of selling and promoting and PRing Unity. And I go out to conferences and show it off, and just generally try to get it as known as possible. It's a new product. We're a startup, so there's a lot of work in just getting the message out that Unity is this incredibly good authoring tool for 3D games and other interactive like content.
So give us a brief history of the Unity game engine. Like, where did it come from? And sort of talk about the process of building it and finally releasing it.
Yeah, I mean, to make a really long and complicated story pretty short, we started off as a team that met online. And we wanted to make incredibly good gaming technology with a real Mac interface to it, so that a lot of people who can't figure out like the complicated source level engines would be able to make games. We started 4 years ago working over the internet. Then we moved together 3 years ago into an office in Copenhagen, and basically I've been developing Unity ever since. We put it out at Worldwide Developers Conference last year, 2005. And it was demoed on the first session by one of the vice presidents of Apple. And since then, we've just been developing and selling it.
So there in the Mac gaming industry, we've got a couple different sort of variations of exactly what you're making: user-friendly indie game engine targeted at indie developers. What sets your engine apart from, say, Garage Games, or I don't know what other ones are out there? Yeah.
Coldstone.
Coldstone. Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, we really didn't want to make a dumbed down tool. So we wanted to put in all the like powerful technologies, gaming technologies that you have. So we have like shader technology on the level of Doom 3, with a lot of bump specular shaders and stuff like that. We have reflections and water and all that beautiful stuff. Then we have physics. We use a geophysics engine, which is one of the two best on the market today. Yeah, but then on top of that, all this technology, we have a pro application interface, which is really nice to use. Uses all the like Apple or Mac technology paradigms of GUI interfaces. So it's really like accessible for people. People who are coming from other authoring tools will feel very welcome there. People who know 3D application will feel welcome. And that's really what we wanted to do. And I think you'll find that it's pretty different from other technologies. Yeah, you can download Unity from our website, and you have a 2-week free demo, and you'll find out that, I mean, an hour after you downloaded it and just looked a little bit at the documentation, you'll be able to actually modify the like demo scenes, and from there on you can start prototyping games in hours or a couple of days. And I don't think you'll find anything comparable to that anywhere on the market.
And for those who are not in the know about the Unity game engine, it was used on both the Pachimono.
That was the entry, OT's entry in the OMG contest.
And also Goo Ball, which was developed by David and some of his buddies, which Ambrosia put out about a year ago or so.
Yeah, almost exactly a year ago, yeah.
Now Goo Ball is a really incredible story. Tell us a little bit about developing a title like Goo Ball with Unity.
I mean, at some point, a year ago, pretty much exactly, we had Unity built up, and we were pretty much getting ready to put it on the market, but we decided that we should really make one game with it first, just so people would be impressed and really understand how cool it was. So we sat down with one graphic artist and three programmers, and we made this, I think, extremely beautiful game in 4 to 5 months, depending on how you count. And it has like 63 levels in 5 different graphical styles. So the scope of it is huge compared to a lot of other sort of smaller downloadable games. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of hard work, but I mean, without Unity, there was no way we could have done it. And also, while we were developing it, we also learned a lot more about game development and changed Unity quite a lot. So actually, after the game was finished, we waited 6 months to actually put Unity on the market.
So how long from start to finish did Goo Ball take to create?
It took 5 months. We started the autumn 2004 and then spent 5 months until Christmas. Then it was basically done. It didn't actually come out until March because of QA and some delays. But basically, it just took those 5 months to make.
Now, did you develop more... Did you add more functionality to Unity in response to the things you were needing making Goo Ball?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing was that we just all the annoying steps we ran into, all the like silly things you have to, all the extraneous tasks you had to do, we tried to remove those.
Right.
So basically, after Goo Ball was finished, we hired a couple of more guys, just sat down to like clean up everything and make everything much, much smoother, which I think we succeeded with.
So, what is the community surrounding Unity like? I mean, if I start to use Unity and I have a problem, say with design or with even art or something technical with Unity, what's the community support like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a forum which is pretty active and extremely friendly. I'm really happy with that. People are so helpful there, and. There is a collaboration forum, and we've seen a few projects start where people sort of ask, I can do art, or who can do programming, or whatever, and then they join up. And there are some community projects like that running. There is also a script wiki where people post examples, and there's a lot of discussion about those, and people keep like modifying and improving things. So I think it's an extremely helpful community. No flame wars or anything like that. It's an absolute pleasure.
Good.
Not like the IMG forums.
Oh yeah. Exactly. So speaking of scripting, coming from the from a programmer's perspective, and I'm sure there's a lot of skeptical programmers out there. You know, how much can a programmer customize the Unity engine to, like, you know, tweak the physics, you know, whatnot, just make it exactly how a programmer visions the game? Is it limited by the engine at all, or can I customize it completely?
Yeah, I mean, we really tried to make Unity not a dumbed down shoot 'em up construction kit or something. So we had several ways to change how things work. I mean, first of all, there's a lot of parameters to change in the physics, and so a lot of things can be done without scripting or programming. Then we have support for JavaScript, C#, and a Python-like language, which is called Boo. So almost no matter where people are coming from, they will find a language that fits them. And with those, they can script all the any interactivity or AI or whatever they want. And there's a fairly extensive API, so you can access a lot of corners and funky things. If that's not enough, we also have plugins, so you can write completely custom C++ stuff that integrates with hardware or software. If you have some AI code or library code you want to, some networking code you want to integrate with, you can just do that. So we try to keep it really, really flexible, because we know that. That programmers hate being limited, and we're programmers, most of us.
Unity compiles binaries for both Mac and PC, as well as for internet distribution. Can you talk a little bit about this plugin you guys have that allows you to talk a little bit about your internet distribution?
Sure. I mean, first of all, you always just work in the Unity editor, which is this nice application, and you try out your game, pressing the play button, tuning stuff until you're happy. Then you go to the file menu, press build game, and then you get options for which platform you want to build for. So the idea is the game is always the same, no matter how you distribute it. And then we have you can make standalones for Mac and PC, and then you also can make an internet players. And there's a plugin that people can download. And right now we have a Mac plugin, and a PC plugin is coming into beta very soon. So it should be ready by end of March or early April. So from then on, you'll be able to do this amazing-looking 3D content for the web.
Now, let me ask you about that. I saw your plugin for one of the little demos on your website, and I was really amazed at how good it looked. But my question to you is, how many resources do you have to download? Let's say you had a game on Doom 3's graphical quality. Would that take, a long download, or is it streamed? How does that work?
It wouldn't necessarily be a long download. Right now it's not streamed, but we'll be adding streaming, so you can actually stream levels as you go.
Right.
Right now it's you download everything at the same time. But all the data is compressed, and we compress the textures and the sounds, so in the end it's not a lot of data.
Wow.
Cool.
We had really cool games that are just 1 or 2 megabytes. Of course you won't have many graphical styles or huge soundtracks.
Right.
But that's how it is, yeah.
All right, this might be a dumb question. I remember when I talked to you at Macworld, you were talking about using .NET implementation. Is that what allows you to compile for Windows so easily? Or, I don't know, it might be dumb, but talk a little bit about .NET.
Yeah, the main reason for choosing .NET was that we needed a really, really fast scripting platform. Something that would compile to native code on a lot of different processors.
Right.
And .NET was really the best choice for that. And also the fact that .NET has this idea you can have multiple languages working within the same system, which is great, because then we can support JavaScript, so people coming from a Flash background can feel at home. Mm-hmm. But also more serious programmers who prefer C#, they also have that. So I think it was really the best of all worlds. Yeah, I'm not sure we would have been able to make Unity as it was without .NET. Of course, a lot of Mac users think it's dirty Microsoft technology, but what we use is actually an open source implementation of it, which is completely unrelated to Microsoft.
So you also are leveraging a lot of the core OS X technologies, Cocoa, for instance. I noticed that the Unity engine updates almost instantaneously when you change new assets, for instance. In Photoshop, you alter a texture, it's altered in Unity at the same time. What other features of the sort of the Mac OS X frameworks are you using to make Unity better?
Yeah, I mean, most important is just Cocoa, which is such a sweet tool to make interfaces, and they feel so nice. So I think that's really the top of it. Of course, we use QuickTime to import the assets, which means that we basically read any texture format in the world, and also almost all sound formats. And that's just great because we basically get that for free.
Right.
I don't think we really use many other of the sort of important frameworks that Apple has, because to maintain cross-platform compatibility, we can't use too many of them, which is kind of annoying, but that's just how it is. If you want to support Windows, which is pretty important for games, we can't really use like the core imaging or core video, those cool frameworks. So we had to stay away from those.
A question. You said the Over the Edge guys got a lot of experience in game design, working on Gooball. Are there any futures in Over the Edge's... Any plans in Over the Edge's future to, you know, get into more game design? Any, you know, Gooball 2 or something similar?
You never know. I mean, right now we're not doing it. We have a sister company that is doing serious games, educational games, using Unity, of course. So you get the, like, really beautiful technology, and you have a beautiful world to walk around in. It's set in the Middle East, and the goal is to allow students and other, students to experience the Middle East from a first-person perspective. And it's an amazing game production, but it's not done by Over the Edge, sort of a sister company of ours. But we share resources, and the game designer behind Gooball is actually designing that game. As for Over the Edge Entertainment doing more games, I'm not sure. Not right now. Now we're pretty happy with developing Unity, and we really want to put all our resources into that.
So Unity is updated quite frequently. We check your site, and you release updates all the time. Can you comment on your development roadmap for, say, the next 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, we have a huge list of smaller and bigger features that we want to implement, and we're always listening to the community, so people actually get their ideas in, if they're good enough, of course. I mean, sort of on a running basis, we're releasing bug fix updates and sort of smaller features every 1 or 2 months. I think we've been doing it at. The next big release will be 2.0, set sometime in sort of the later part of 2006, and that should contain like really nice features like shadows and game networking.
Oh wow! So networking code added to 2.0. That's cool.
I think we'll have time to put it in, but generally we try not to commit to specific features because we just need to be flexible, because we're still a small company, so we just try to. Yeah, we need to have the sort of the space to change direction depending on what our users needs.
Don't worry, we won't hold you to it, David.
Well, everyone else will. That's okay.
Well, I think one of the best parts of what you've made is the price and the licensing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how that benefits, you know, indie developers using your software.
Sure. I mean, we have two licenses. We have the Pro license, which has all the features, including making games for the web. And then we have an indie license, which anyone can use, except large corporations, and which has almost all the features, except some of the high-end graphics stuff and the publishing for Windows. But both versions are totally royalty-free, so we don't have any control over what you do with Unity. And this is just because we want to be on the like pro app market. We want people to pick up Unity like they pick up Final Cut Pro or Flash, and we just want them to do really, really cool stuff. And if you put in hooks into the license agreements, people will be worried and sort of keep away from tools, I think.
Question: what are some of the coolest things you've seen your customers make with Unity?
One of my favorite things is we had a widget competition. Yeah, by the way, Unity supports creating widgets. That's using the web plugin. So you can make dashboard widgets with Unity. equally simply as you do the other types of games. And we made a dashboard widget competition in August 2005, and 13 different like people and teams and individuals made small games with Unity. And some of those people had just picked up, basically just picked up Unity the day the competition started. And I think the span of those 13 games are so different. There's like a first person walk around on a beautiful island. There's some like Tetris-like games. There's an isometric shooter. And I think this kind of span, both in people's skill sets and in what they made, is really the best, one of the best proofs of what Unity can do. And some of the other really cool projects that I've seen used with Unity, they're not released yet. there is a South American company that are doing exquisitely beautiful architectural walkthroughs that they're going to put on kiosks, but it's not on the market yet. And there's a couple of games that are sort of in alpha and will be published hopefully soon.
Cool.
And of course, there's Goopball, which is something that I'm extremely proud of. but that can be downloaded from Ambrosia's website.
And David, you are a demon in Goopball. I saw this man play Goopball. He must have gone through that whole game in about 10 minutes.
Well, I was playing it for 5 months, so so I had to be good, right?
Oh, he knows that skip level hotkey. He couldn't
figure out what
it was.
Oh, this one's hard, skip level.
No, he's really good. I couldn't believe it. Really good.
All right. Well, now for the big announcement of, I dare say, the year for the Inside Mac Games podcast. The Inside Mac Games... Stop giggling. This is serious business. The Inside Mac Games podcast will be developing a game using the Unity engine. I'm allowing time for gasps right now.
Oh, there are. We were so impressed with it when we saw it at Macworld that we talked to David and we got some licenses and we're making a game. So we're going to be working really closely with Over the Edge to make something really cool for all of the Mac gamers out there, and it will be released for free.
FREE.
FREE. So be on the lookout for that. We are setting up for a 3-month development cycle, and the whole process will be pretty transparent. So things will be set up on the IMG website detailing our progress.
We'll also be keeping you updated on the podcast. We're going to have a new section. Maybe Steve Zay will make us a graphic. kind of a developer diary each week of our game development.
So be on the lookout for all of that goodness.
Just so you guys know that, you know, I need to sit out this development. This is because I do work for a game company. This is conflict of interest.
Oh, what?
Oh.
Yeah, weakness.
Yeah.
Weakness.
Weak sauce, extra mile. But that's the way it goes.
Oh, lame.
Justin Fick will be watching from the sidelines.
That's
as we
right.
Create...
He'll be watching as we create the greatest freeware game ever made.
Yep.
Well, it's a shame. It's a shame. But fear not. Fear not.
All right. Well, thanks so much, David, and we'll be seeing some more of you later.
Yeah. Cool. And yeah, I'll be listening to your podcast to hear the rest of the story.
Go to unity3d.com. Download the new download the demo, the 2-week demo, and check it out. Unity 3D.
And if you'd like to buy a copy of Unity, don't buy it directly from Unity. Go to the MacGameStore.com. Right? Right, David?
Of course.
Thanks, David.
And now it's time to stomp Blake Buck!
How did we come up with the exact same music? Like
I don't know. Dumb minds think alike. All right, so before our podcast fell apart the other day, I had Blake Buck stumped with some really good heat. And I don't know if this heat this week's gonna stump him, but last week I stumped him
you
with
got
Ute.
No proof.
No, listen. I stumped him with Ute Tower.
That never happened. I got you on Ute Tower.
All right, so this week I don't know. This might not stump you. Spin Doctor.
Spin Doctor.
You played Spin Doctor?
Spin Doctor? That's not that game Justin was sleepwalking in, was it?
The one where you had to operate on an appendix? No, not that one. Even Simon has played Spin Doctor. My PC zealot roommate has played Spin Doctor.
That sounds like some sort of like word game or something.
No, it's a puzzle game. You'd like it.
Ooh, I like puzzle.
I win what twice. Twice in a row. Well, I mean, it's a puzzle game. It came on my old Performa. I don't know. It was. I don't remember who published it or anything. Because I don't have Google open right now. But it was good. Matt Gamers all the world.
What was it about? Why don't you tell us what it's about?
No. You had these, like, it was top down, and you had all these little tools, and you had these spinning things. These, like, rotating gizmos. And you had to solve these little puzzles with it. It was a long time since I played it, when I was, like, 10. But I have played it, and you haven't, so I win.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. You know, give me a heat, Justin Fick.
Okay. My heat this week is a game called Quagmire.
Oh, you have been pwned, good sir. I remember playing Quagmire. You play a little robot dude, and it was a 2D kind of platformer. You had to get to the little exit of each of the levels. And there were all sorts of obstacles and jumps and stuff in your way.
Oh my god.
Blake Buck,
you rascally son of a... I have been fairly pwned.
Oh, you've been smoke-a-fed.
Smoke? I didn't even think you'd get this one either. I picked like a... went out of my way to get something obscure, but you know what? You got it. Quagmire was created by Tony Small in 1993. This was like... I remember downloading this off AOL. This is how old this was. Before my account got canceled for swearing at people. But, yeah, it was the gameplay was very similar to, like, Dark Castle. You get this robot, and you get this little rock shooter, and you basically go through levels, and there's pitfalls, and there's actually, you know, bats and stuff. You can shoot with rocks, and, you know. And I just remember, like, every five levels or so, you get this corny, cheesy cutscene, this little 2D cutscene with pixel art. No, it was really frustrating, though, too. I don't think I ever beat it.
Ah, yeah, it's one of those old Matt games that nobody ever beats.
Alright, so you ready for next week's theme, Blake Buck?
I'm ready for next week's theme. You better lay it on me.
See, this might give you a head start. You might have to do some research, and I don't know. Alright, next week's theme is games that would run on my first generation iMac.
Man, that's... you know I was doing weed back then.
Well, now, see, now you know. Fair. So now you can go play some games and prepare.
Dude, you know, I actually have. I bought Shadow of the Colossus about a week ago, and
it's not over.
And it's not been turned on. That's how much time I have to play games. It is still in the wrapper.
God, that's amazing. That game is really good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because they eliminated all the bad stuff. I'm a genius game designer.
Look.
Well, it worked. It worked. Shadow of the Colossus.
It worked. See, you take all the dumb crap out of it, and you got a good game after that.
You can get the good put more of that in there.
Human resources people, I am available. you can hire me as a game designer. I will design good games for you.
All right, you know what doesn't work about Pac-Man? There are too many ghosts. What if you just ate dots? Genius. Give this man a prize. All right, well, that does it for this week in Matt Gaming. What do you guys got to say?
Yeah! Fuck on, Matt Gaming! Oh, the intensity. I can't, muster.
It's extreme intensity. It's the overheat.
You destroyed me, Justin Fick. You destroyed me. Oh, we'd like to thank the Pod Show PodSafe Music Network for providing all the pod music in this podcast. We'd also like to thank Bruce Morrison at Freeverse Software. He packed us up together some goodie boxes.
He sent us some swag,
We got some swag. We got some t-shirts and some games. And he sent me a little CD, right? And it had this strange logo on it. He kind of like drawn on it with a Sharpie. And I was like, what is this? And I put it in, and it was Marathon.
It's about time, too.
So thanks for Marathon, Bruce Morrison.
All right, my Bruce CD has the Kill Monty trailer. And on the CD, it has like a little stick dude, and he's got a little stick gun, and he's shooting around the hole of the CD to three zombies on the other side.
Oh my!
It's badass.
Bruce Morrison, your Sharpie illustration skills know no limits.
I haven't gotten my package yet because it was sent to my house, not to my dorm, because I was dumb and told them the wrong address. But I'll get it soon and tell you what my heat is. But right. Thank you, Bruce Morrison,
yes,
in advance.
Thanks to Freeverse. Also, we'd like to thank this week, how about Tunser Dennis? Our favorite Mac gaming superstar. What do you guys think?
He was not able to make it this week because he's babysitting children for President's Day, and he was sorely missed.
President's Day in what country?
Canada.
Do they even have presidents in Canada?
Don't they have a prime minister?
Yeah.
No, they had a prime minister.
Who is their prime minister?
I don't know, some hockey player.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, it's Wayne Gretzky.
Oh. I do not endorse this behavior.
And from all of us here at Inside Mad Games, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
And I'm Justin Ficarotta.
And we will see you next time.